Our dear Lord said, "Fear no one. Do not be afraid." We need to take these words to heart, especially as we live in these turbulent times. For the past few months, we've been dealing with this whole coronavirus that has changed our lives, and now we have the uncertainty of what's going to happen even this fall. Like with school system, we've seen all the racial tension that has erupted in so much violence. There's also been the inability of local governments to even control their communities. They're allowing anarchists to seize power. And then also we have those who identify as so tolerant. Well, they're tolerant except when you disagree with them. Then they become the most intolerant. We have those that are eradicating history now. Whereas we have to appreciate history so that we don't repeat that history. Yes, we could be filled with fear because of all this uncertainty. Spiritually, though, as our Lord teaches in the gospel, each day is a gift from God. We only have today, and God loves us more than we can imagine. Each one of us needs to remember each day that God has purposely willed our existence. God has given us life. We aren't simply byproducts of some evolutionary process. God purposely made us in His image. He has endowed us with a body and a soul, an immortal soul. And so, our Lord says, if the Heavenly Father cares about the little doves in the air and the sparrows and so on, and if He can even count all the hairs on your head, which for some of us isn't that hard to do anymore, when we think of this, we have a loving God. This is made most clearly known through our Savior Jesus Christ. Take to heart each day the words that Jesus spoke. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. In the mystery of that incarnation, Jesus, true God who became true man, elevated our human dignity to something more greater than even Adam and Eve. Jesus perfectly revealed God's truth and love, so that no matter what chaos we face in this life, we have the straight path to follow that leads us safely through this life. By His cross and resurrection, our Lord has conquered death. He's opened the gates of heaven for all who believe in Him. So how wonderful it is to know we have such a loving God. And therefore, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of anyone. Instead, always remember the loving Father who's given us life. Jesus, who's shown us the way to live in this life and prepared the dwelling place in heaven. The Holy Spirit, who continues to strengthen us, to give us the enlightenment we need here and now to face not only this day, but to face that unknown future. This is why St. Paul would write in his letter to the Romans, when he is in prison, awaiting his trial and martyrdom, "For those who love God, everything works out for good." Or St. Thomas More, whose feast day is tomorrow, and he's the patron saint of our diocese, when he was in the Tower of London, awaiting his martyrdom, he said, "Whatever God wills, no matter how bad it may seem, it will be the best possible plan." So my brothers and sisters, fear no one. Do not be afraid. Now this is a very important message when we consider Father's Day. Now you moms had your day in May, so now we take time for good old Dad. Fathers, though, should be a reflection of God's love that provides that stability and security, especially for children. Think then of our dear Lord and Saint Joseph. So when our Lord entered this world, He did so in the context of a marriage and a family. Yes, Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit and gave birth. Joseph is the foster father, but nevertheless, Joseph was a father in every sense of the term. First of all, he was a holy man. St. Matthew says he was righteous, right with God. So Joseph was that virtuous man. He must have reflected then that image of the Father. In that mystery of the incarnation, when we think of Jesus' divine knowledge, his human knowledge, and yet growing up as a human being and so on, could he not see the love of his heavenly Father reflected in the love of Saint Joseph, his foster father? When I think of the parable of the prodigal son, which really should be labeled the parable of the merciful father, didn't Jesus have in the back of his mind Saint Joseph? I think so. Saint Joseph loved our Blessed Mother truly as his wife. She was precious. She was the mother of the Savior. They were partners in marriage. They weren't in competition with each other, but rather they knew their roles. Joseph was the spiritual head. The mother was the spiritual heart of the home. But they loved each other, and Joseph respected the dignity of our Blessed Mother. I think Jesus must have learned a valuable lesson from that too. When he begins his public ministry, he faces a Jewish society where rabbis did not deal with women. Women were considered like subservient. Jesus is criticized by the Pharisees for having women around him, for teaching them, for having them as disciples. But that didn't bother him because he knew how Saint Joseph had respected our Blessed Mother Mary. And then we think of how he was just that good father. As the good Jewish father, yes, he provided for the family, but he taught. So he taught our little Lord, first of all, spiritually. It's Saint Joseph who led the family in prayer every morning, at night, at grace at meals. He made sure they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. They went to Jerusalem for special events like Passover. In all, Joseph taught Jesus the faith. This is most evident because it was his duty to teach Jesus how to read and to read the Torah. When our Lord quotes all that scripture that we hear in the Gospels, where did he learn it from? He learned it from Saint Joseph teaching him. And Saint Joseph taught him also a trade of carpentry. So we can imagine our little Lord working with Joseph in the workshop. They were maybe building furniture, perhaps yoke for the oxen, maybe crutches for a cripple, going off to repair a roof, did all kinds of things. But Jesus learned the dignity and value of work because his Father was present to him. So if we put this all together, we have a great foundation for our Lord as he prepares for his public ministry. Tradition holds Saint Joseph died before Jesus went off preaching, but he died in the presence of Mary and our dear Lord. Consider, though, that our Lord could do so, go off with that great sense of security, stability, and proclaim, "Don't be afraid. Have no fear of anyone." So for all of you fathers gathered here, take the message to heart. Be the holy man. Be the faithful spouse who cherishes your wife. Be the good father for your children, who is a teacher, who is present in their lives. Now, if anyone perhaps has had a difficult past because of a father and so on, maybe some didn't have the benefit of a good father, look to Saint Joseph. He's always there. Saint Joseph is a wonderful saint to look to each day, especially for every man. I think of our late Holy Father, Pope Saint John Paul II. In the book Witness of Hope, a biography of him, he recounts beautifully his early childhood. His mom died when he was about 9 years old, and then he was raised by his father, who was a retired military officer. Saint John Paul, though, recounts how he would see his father praying on his knees by the bed every night, saying the rosary with him, making sure he went to Sunday Mass, sometimes daily Mass, teaching the catechism and all. And then, when our Holy Father was about 18, his father died. All of a sudden, John Paul was an orphan. Look what he faced in life. He faced Nazism. He faced communism. And then he's elected as the Holy Father in 1978. And the first words out of his mouth on St. Peter's balcony overlooking the huge crowd were, "Do not be afraid." He learned it from his father. So fathers, take heed of the message. Be that holy man, that holy spouse, the holy father for your children. And with that, I ask all fathers to please stand for the special Father's Day blessing. God our Father, in your wisdom and love you made all things. Bless these men, that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. And we ask your blessing upon them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A final word. As you know, this is my last Sunday with you all, so I am going to be taking over as pastor of St. Agnes this Thursday. So I want to thank you for all of your generous support and service to this parish. I vividly remember back in the year 2000, when Bishop Laverty asked me to start a new parish in this place called Potomac Falls, somewhere in Loudoun County. And so I came, and then I remember vividly preaching at Christ the Redeemer July 29th and 30th, hoping that someone would register for this new parish. And then I remember our first Mass, which was August the 6th at Holy Potomac Falls High School, hoping that someone was going to come to Mass. Well, it all worked together by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, we look at that first Mass. And if you recall, for some of you may have been there, it was the Feast of the Transfiguration. And I said that our challenge is to transfigure this little piece of God's kingdom. And we did that together, working together, making our sacrifices. We did that. Yes? We opened our school 2005, dedicated this beautiful church January 17th, 2006. Most importantly, we've always had that strong faith community, a vibrant community. I'm very grateful for all the volunteers, the organizations, the different ministries that have made all of that possible. So together, for 20 years, we've had some real joys. We've had some real sorrows. We faced some tough times, but we always had hope. The Lord was with us. No need to be afraid. Now, I'm very proud that in this short, really 20 years, we've had seven vocations from our parish. We had, first of all, Father Danny Heenan, who taught at our grade school for 3 years. Then Father Randy Sly, who's an Anglican bishop, became a Catholic, was a regular parishioner, and then was ordained a priest here at this very parish. And then Sister Mary Lawrence, who was formerly Allison Payne, one of our founding members, now a professed Dominican sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Joe Machetto, ordained 2 weeks ago, a founding parishioner. And now we have our seminarians, James Joseph, Johnny Meyerhofer, founding parishioner, and Aaron DeSaw, who will begin novitiate this coming June for the Marian Fathers of Mary of the Immaculate Conception. So much to be grateful for God's grace. I do regret, though, that I'm leaving now. What an awful time to leave. It hurts me, really, to think that now, in this time, this mess that we're in, there's a transfer taking place. What can I say? It's not my decision. I was also hoping that I would be here for the 25th anniversary and have the debt paid off. But I can say that out of a $19 million project, I leave you with a debt of $1,950,000, which can be easily paid off by that 25th anniversary with good stewardship. So I thank you, and I'm very blessed because being here 20 years, I have learned what it means to really be a spiritual father. I've been with you. I've seen your kids grow up. I've even buried some of your loved ones. But in all, I've learned to be a good spiritual father. So please pray for me I'll always be praying for you. This is always going to be my little church, my home. And I'll always remember you every time I celebrate Mass. May God bless you.